5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
No, we're just a simple show.
Put moron number two on the phone.
We need to have a meeting.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime.
Listening to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
Oh, nice to have your company. He's been pissing down in the great city of Melbourne. I tell you what, Bill.
It has.
Hail, rain. I thought my house was going to get picked up and relocated.
How heavy was it, Chip?
Unbelievable.
Heavy.
Anyway, we love that, of course.
It's nothing better being in bed.
I know. How good?
Oh, I just
tin roof. Oh, nice. Kevin Muscat on the show today.
Oh, Musky.
And also midweek grub later on, Jason Dunstall, Damien Barrett, everything you need to know about football after a enormous round of football. Second highest attendance for a round of footy in AFL VFL history.
And guess when the first highest was?
When?
Round one.
Well, there you go.
So this year, round one was the highest. Round five is the second highest.
Turnstiles ticking over. Hello to you, ratings Brownless.
Ratings. Hello, Jimmy boy. G'day, listeners, and g'day to you, Leroy.
You talking to me?
Yes, I'm talking to you, Leroy. Jim.
Well, it was nice. And yesterday was nice, too.
Oh, lovely.
I love Anzac Day. I loved Anzac Day Eve. That was a cracking
Anzac
night as well.
Day,
brilliant.
Eve.
Both of them brilliant. And both good games.
Feels like Monday.
It does.
Doesn't it? I reckon everyone thinks it's Monday today. That's, I mean, it's just everyone's out of whack.
And Easter is not normally, am I wrong in thinking,
so
Easter is not normally so close to Anzac Day?
No.
So we've had a bit of a weird-ass setup.
They've been very weird-ass. We've had a lot of days off,
which
has been good.
I don't like them.
No, you
I prefer
love
to be working.
I can't believe you're in here today.
Yeah.
Which means, Jim, we haven't got many more days off.
No.
Because they're all
done.
Nearly done.
We're looking forward to the July
holidays. Queen's birthday or someone?
That might be it.
Come on, Queenie.
All right,
Joint blow. Oh, Phil Davis, straight back.
Oh, straight back.
He's out, Jim. He's got a bit of a sore hammy. He's out this week,
right.
Of course. Big game against the Western Bulldogs.
Yeah,
that will
a
be
game.
A game.
Nice
that
game,
one.
Yes.
Well, we've got a few injuries here. David Armitage, he's out for a month. He's had groin surgery.
Come on, Armour.
What did they do to his groin? Adductor release. Oh, come
on. That's normally what it is.
And Kobe Stevens, Jimmy, suffered concussion. A lot of concussion going on at the minute in the VFL.
Yes.
Sean Higgins to boost North.
Good.
I like what North are doing, Jim. I'm going to talk about North later.
Missed him on the weekend. He's a very, very good player, Sean Higgins.
So Sean Higgins in, but look who might be out.
Who?
Zeeble.
Oh, no.
He's sore, Zeebs.
Come on.
Knee.
Get up,
Goldie.
Zeebs. Come on,
Rolled
man.
His ankle
yeah, he did
late in the game.
Cost us too.
Oh, big dopey come off and then strapped it up, went back on. And Benny Brown's not right, Jim. He is not right.
Well, where's Wadey?
But he's also got an injury.
Wadey's got to be nearly back.
Yeah, where is Wadey,
So get him back. Mason Wood in. Nice.
I reckon they're going all right with their honourable losses, Jim.
Yeah, I see.
They are.
Honourable. Write that down, Larry.
Honourable.
Yes.
Hey, some more fines from the big game the other night. Richmond and Melbourne. Did you see that?
Yes, I did.
There was a bit going on.
Jack Viney just climbed into a couple.
Well, who got Trent Cotchin, $1,500 fine. He was the instigator, they reckon.
See, yes.
Jack Revolt, $2,500 fine. Jack Viney,
$2,500
fine.
I was going to say, he was right in the middle of it.
And Nate Jones, $2,500
fine. A couple
fine.
Of tough little bastards
there's
there.
$9,000 there.
Nate Jones and Jack Viney.
Jack Viney.
Bill. I don't care about the size of the fight of the dog.
Oh.
Those two have got the fight there and done. They are
exactly.
hard little men.
They
I love how they operate.
Nate
Jeez,
and
that was a good game. That was a ripper game. I enjoyed that. I stayed home, watched it Monday night.
You know
it
was
a
good,
cracking
Jim?
Game of footy.
It was that night.
Yeah, I love it.
There's something about that at night,
keeps,
Jim.
We keep
coming around.
About it, that the ceremony and the way they do that is brilliant.
I'm writing it down. Midweek rub.
Yeah, do that.
Night, grand
yeah,
final.
Night, grand final.
Or Twilight.
Or Twilight. And then the yesterday, brilliant. Absolutely. Yeah. I love the game of footy. Collingwood came piling back into it. And Wellesley.
Wellesley.
Oh, very nice work from him. Very quiet early, but then worked his way into it nicely.
You know, they've got no excuses, Collingwood. They got every player, every player they can have on the ground virtually.
Yep.
No excuses for them at the minute, Jim.
And the other mob deserved to win. They were better on the day.
They were.
It was a good game of footy to watch. And I can't believe our man, the Araz.
He
had Anzac Day medal written all over him.
I was listening,
One vote.
He got one vote.
One vote.
Yeah. Was Danaher that good? I didn't see all the games.
I didn't think he was the best player. I thought he's very influential, and I love the way he goes about
exactly
it. But for
so.
Me, Bill, you're a small forward. You get 18 kicks, take 6 marks, kick 4 goals, 1. That makes you the Anzac Day medalist for mine. The Araz, our man, who we didn't know he was.
The water boy.
You told him to go and get a coffee.
Gee, he kicks straight. He kicks
does.
Well. That's very important. Maxi Gorn, have you seen Maxi lately without the
beard? Beardless. He looks 100 years younger.
Yeah. but his jaw's not right. It's too skinny. I'd grow the beard again, Max. He's selling his beard for charity, yeah, which is fantastic, yes. For the Reach Foundation.
Yep.
So well done to Maxie Boy. At the minute, there's a bid for $530. What would you do with his beard?
Not sure. I have no idea. Let me ask you this, Bill. What do you reckon this idiot of a man who I received notification from today, I won't give you his full name, but it's Tex Walker.
Right.
What do you reckon he said to me today, Texan?
He would have said something about the crows and how well they're flying.
Crows are flying.
Oh, he did say that.
Get on board. Are you a member yet? You reckon?
What's he trying to get you in as a member?
No, he was asking me about the Ashes test over there. I don't know what he's got in mind. The big dopey Texan. No, the one in Adelaide. Oh. But he then finished it up by saying exactly that. Crows flying, get on board. Are you a member yet?
And no, you're not.
No, I'm not.
They've got enough members, Jim.
They have bloody oath.
They've got enough.
They're going well, nicely. All right.
Sloane, he's made Sloane.
Mad
mate. He might be the best footballer.
Well, I saw the Coaches Association votes, and he is on top.
I know. Well,
33.
Where's my man?
Your man, Joel Selwood, 31. Joel. Wonderful footballer, Joel Selwood. Ollie Wines, equally good.
He's good.
29. To Dusty Martin, Clayton Oliver, Zach Merritt, very good player as well.
He's
so
a good player, Zach.
Danger down. Only 20 votes.
Yeah, what happened there?
I thought he might be up higher than that. But
yeah, Robbie Gray's there.
Anyway, you would not argue with any of that top five. They're all in very, very good shape.
Oh, Jimmy boy.
Yes.
Maxie, my youngest.
Yes, Maxwell.
Oh, Slapsy.
Yep.
Does he love to sleep in? Public holidays, Jim. 11 or 12 o'clock, doesn't get out of bed.
Fred's the same. He's almost the same age too, Fred. A bit younger, but he's exactly the same. You have to strangle him out of bed every day.
Mate, it's
amazing, isn't it?
Unbelievable. But there's a new craze that's hit school at the minute, like when we're around with the yo-yos and the marbles.
Yes. Dougs, as we call them in Perth.
What, marbles?
Yeah, they're called Dougs. D-O-U-G-S.
You're another country over
Bill,
there.
It is weird. It's a whole other country.
It is.
And if you ask the freaks that live over there now, they'd actually saw it off and move it out further into the Indian Ocean.
So you called marbles Dougs.
You bring your Dougs to school. I don't get it. Jeez. That makes no sense.
Anyway, the new craze is called hand spinners.
What are they?
Well, they're these stupid little triangle things. They've got a little bit of thing in the middle.
Yep.
And all you do is hold them between your fingers and you spin them.
Huh.
There's nothing.
That's it.
That's nothing.
You don't throw them up and they land or anything.
You don't do anything. You just spin them.
Yeah.
Hence the name hand spinners.
Right.
But they're useless.
Yeah.
But this is what I like about Slapsy because he's always a squirrel.
My youngest.
Old squirrel because he just tucks away money. Ooh. Like he'll take $5 off me or he'll get money here and there and just tucks it away.
Keeps it aside.
Adds it all up to him.
All
he's
right.
got plenty there and hidden away at old squirrel.
Well, I'd be going to his old man and say, hand that over.
Well, if I could get in there. I would. But, but what has happened, Jim? And you can only get these hand spinners on the internet.
Right.
So they're not out. Jill went to get one for her boy. Well, what's his name? Finn, that's right. Finn, she went down to the market here to get him one and they're not out. So you got to get them on the internet, Jim.
Right.
And old Slapsy, he ordered 3 in for $20.
Right.
They come back, sells them at school for 15 each.
No way.
Yeah, 15
each. Making an earn out of it.
Making an earn out of them. So he's got another order in at the minute.
Come on, Slapsy.
Which I like. I don't know if you're allowed to do that, by the way.
Probably not.
No. But I like that, Jim. So, hence, 133353.
Hence.
What did you scam at school? What were the scams going on at school? Because there's always been lots of them. I tell you what, the cards, the footy cards, Jim. Remember, they'd get the golden card or whatever it was, me or Ablett. And, mate, they'd sell them. They would sell them for 10 or 20 bucks to some poor kid that really wanted them.
Oh, yeah. Mm. No, there would have been lots of scamming going on when you're a young
school,
bloke. Or lady. 133353, ring us. What were your scams growing up?
Just reading off Twitter, Jim, of course. When did and what did you scam at school, of course? Slapsy, my youngest, has got these finger spinners or whatever they're called, hand spinners, and
getting
he sells
them in
them.
And then moving them on night for a nice little profit.
Exactly, and I'm just reading here on Twitter, Razzle Dazzle, that's what he calls himself, of course.
Araz Fantasia.
Exactly. A lot of hail around Toorak area. Right, oh, that's not it. Thanks, Jimmy.
So really another,
Well, I thought you said something about ciggies.
Yeah, well, didn't yours update?
No.
Yeah, cigarettes were pretty popular to sell back in school, including Sean used to sell ciggies for his line of business, 5 ciggies, tax plus he kept the change as well for about $5 a pack.
Oh, there you go. Ciggies, Jim. Yeah. There you go.
20 cents a smoke as well. Paul Miller used to sell them.
20 cents.
Benny's in Bundoora. Hello, Benny.
JB, how you going?
Great, mate. What did you scam?
I used to scam my mum's banana bread at high school.
Oh,
nice. Mates used to pinch bits off me at recess and that. So I thought, hang on a minute, I can make some coin out of this. So I got mum to make extra stuff and the money I made went towards bananas and all the ingredients. So, yeah, good little deal on the side.
Nice.
Well, very nice. Oh, yeah, Mum's banana bread,
yeah,
Jim.
It would have been beautiful too. Don't worry about that. Hang on there, Benny. Pete's in Ferntree Gully. Hey, Pete.
Pete.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, you're there. You're on air, mate. What'd you scam?
Back when I was in school, we had Pokemon cards going around.
Yep.
And had one kid, one of the older boys, scanned one of the younger kids, gave him two cards worth about $10, got one card that's now worth about $2,500, $3,000.
Really?
Ooh. Yeah.
How can you have a Pokemon card worth $3,000?
No, I won't go into it. There's a lot of detail, but highly sought after.
Very rare, obviously.
I know, Pete. Stay there. Jack's down in Geelong, Bill.
Jackie boy.
G'day, how you doing?
Still rain. Have you ever seen any heavier rain than there was in Geelong yesterday?
It was pretty heavy, wasn't it? Bowen South got flooded, so that was good.
Yeah. Oh, good. Whose house?
Bowen South, did you say?
Pardon?
Who got flooded?
My parents' place.
Your parents' place. You've
never seen such heavier rain,
Jim. It was ridiculous,
I agree. In Geelong, crikey. Nuts. Righto, Jack, what do you got?
I used to sell makeup products, moisturiser stuff out of my locker at school to the teachers and kids.
Where did you get them?
Yeah.
Friend of a friend.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Oh. Friend of a friend.
What school's this, Jackie boy?
It was a dual scam with my brother at Joey's and Christian College.
Oh, Joey's and Christian College.
He had both joints going.
He had the old St. Joey's going too.
Righto, stay there. Timmy's in Cheltenham. Tim?
G'day, boys. How are you?
Good, Timmy.
What do you got?
The old zombie chews. We used to go in our free periods before lunch and that and buy them all and sell them to the younger kids.
What are the zombie tubes? Which ones are they?
It's got the sour stuff inside it. Like a grape flavour.
Oh, yeah, they're terrible bloody things they are. So you get them and sell them to, at a higher price to the younger kids?
Yep.
Well done, Timmy. Good work. I like that.
Brad's in Mitcham. Brad?
G'day, boys. How are we?
Good, Brad.
What he got?
Yeah, so we had... a young bloke at school. I wanted to call him Dave because that was his name. And he used to rock up to Safeway at lunchtime and grab a big box of paddle pops and bring them back to school and flog them off at the highest bidder.
Oh, yeah, didn't well done.
Yeah, smart, we had a bit of a school was a bit strict on the old lollies and stuff, so they sort of cracked down on that pretty quick. But yeah, you got a good little trade out of it for a while there. So.
All right, well done.
That's clever.
Yeah, this is Bill because kids have got money and no idea how to spend it.
That's right.
At that age, Jeff's in Cranbourne. Hey, Jeff.
G'day, how's it going?
Good, man. What happened with you?
It wasn't me. It was my son. My son was making nunchucks and selling it at school for $5.
Oh, nunchucks.
Crikey.
Yeah.
How's he making nunchucks?
Yeah, it was just two bits of sticks with a string through attached to them.
Or did the parents, the teachers get on to you?
Yeah, he did. Mm. I did.
Yeah. No, fair enough, because they can be dangerous.
Oh, well, bloody nunchucks, aren't you? When I was using them in my day.
Oh, yeah. You would have been ferocious. Jason Muralbark. Hello, Jase.
G'day, Chats. How you going?
Jason.
What do you got, man?
We used to play what's called flicks with the footy cards, and whoever could flick the footy card the furthest would win the card. Oh. So I came up with a scam where we'd glue three or four cards together so they'd flick like twice as far. We'd win the footy cards, and that's how I normally got my full sets.
You sort of rigged the game, basically. That's what you did.
Well, we scammed it, yeah.
Righto.
What was the best footy card back then?
Oh, geez, it might have been before your time, Billy.
Mm. Jeez.
Yeah, and it wouldn't have been Bill even if it was his time, Jase, I don't reckon.
No, it was always at the bottom of the deck.
There we are. Beautiful. Simon Sunshine. Hello, Simo.
How you going, buddy?
What did you scam at school?
Yeah, my parents got me this little draw-on tattoo kit, and it was like a Texas for the skin.
Yeah.
I had a bunch of little prints and icons and fairies and all that type of dragons and stuff.
Yeah.
And a couple of my mates liked it, so I thought I'd bring it to school and sell them $2 a tattoo. Oh,
$2 for a tattoo?
Yeah, so I was selling tattoos in primary school.
Selling tattoos at primary school.
A nice way to start off your employment life, Bill.
Well done, Simon.
James in Geelong. Hello, Jimmy.
Hello, boys.
Do you get rained out too, James?
No, I work today, mate.
Or at night or something. Heavy rain, James, down there in Geelong.
No, I haven't seen it, mate.
Bill. Don't know what he's talking about.
What do you do? Where have you been for the last 2 days?
I'm a chippy, mate. We don't get rained off.
Oh, rubbish.
Working hard, Bill. On the tools.
Wet sheep. Yep. What do you got for us, Jimmy boy?
used to sell sauce out of the locker at school, Bill.
No.
Sauce?
Tomato sauce?
Yeah, at Joey's in Geelong.
At St. Joey's.
There was one stage where they banned the little squeezy sauce packet.
Oh.
So I went and bought a big box of them and started selling them out of the locker at school.
what sort of a joint were they running at?
You got to wonder, Jim. Fair dinkum. Look who's been there.
That's Jimmy Martell.
Jimmy Martell, Barry Stoneham.
Oh, Barons.
Cameron Ling.
Oh, there you are. A couple of red nuts.
Red nuts. He's too much sauce to those blokes, Joe.
Exactly right.
This man is here, Jimmy boy. It's down to four in the A-League, semi-finals this weekend. Sydney take on Perth. But we're much more interested in Melbourne victory taking on Brisbane Sunday, Amy Park, 5 p.m. There'll be plenty of victory supporters
It's the only interest we have, Bill.
The only interest. And this man here is a coach, was a superstar player, of course, for Australia and for everyone else around the joint. But now
thank you,
coach.
Bill.
Kevin Musker, join us. Hey, Muskie.
Good research, Bill. Well done, mate.
Kev, have you been introduced in any sharper fashion than that in all of your time?
Hey, I don't know what was worse, Jimmy, the song, Under Pressure, or Billy's introduction.
Oh, you're under pressure, my friend, but you're fit, you're ready to go, and you're very, very confident. I've been reading up on you.
Yeah, pressure's a privilege, Bill, because if you're playing in games where you don't feel any pressure, you're obviously not achieving. And to achieve it, anything, you've got to, at some point, you know, get to some sort of pressure. And there's no greater pressure from the one that, you know, we produce from within. So, you know, we're looking forward to it. It's been... you know, the last 3 or 4 weeks of the season, you know, we were in a little bit of a landing pattern, if you like, where, you know, we couldn't finish top and we, you know, couldn't finish third, so to speak. So, it's just grateful now we've got some meaningful games and I'm excited by it.
Yeah, good on you. Kevin Musket, of course, 138 games of victory, Jim.
Thank you, Bill.
34 goals and then 3 games of Sunshine. George Cross, whoever they are.
Probably should do the research before the interview starts, Bill.
But I've been reading up, and it's an interesting one because Brisbane, unbelievably, Jim, are playing in the ACL
overseas, Asia.
Tonight they play. They haven't taken their full squad, but then they've got to fly back. So it is an unbelievable travel arrangement they've got there, Muskie.
It is, and, you know, we were in the same situation last season, Bill. So it's just, again, you know, if you get any success, you get to play in these competitions. So the reality is they haven't taken anywhere near a full strength team across to Asia. A lot of the players that will play on Sunday are in Brisbane training as we speak. But that's not our problem, mate. Our problem is, you know, the ones that we're working on at the moment internally just to make sure that we're right mentally and we're prepared tactically for the game, and we will be.
We can't cop Sydney winning, Kev. That's something we will not put up with.
No, look, that's a little bit of a distance away. We'll let them worry about you know, their game. And, you know, we'll just concentrate now on ourselves. And you know, we've had a couple of weeks. We had the first weekend of the finals without a game, so we have had time to, you know, freshen up and prepare mentally. And all this week has been, you know, the preparations on the tactical side of the games and the analysis side of the games. And training's been, you know, quite tasty for these last couple of days. So, as I said, we're excited.
Hey, tell us the sophistication of the round ball game I've always enjoyed, and that is that you've got, I think I'm right in saying, 4 uncontracted players, and you've been quoted as saying that you're happy to leave that until after the finals to sit down and talk with those boys. So they clearly don't worry about any of that.
No.
Well, each individual is different, Billy, and it's no different to any other code. You know, at this point in time, there's probably, you know, a couple more than 4 that we've got uncontracted. You know, we started some negotiations a while ago, but everyone involved and everyone included, you know, 2 weeks ago, you know, we decided as a group, you know, the selfless act would be to put all those on hold and just worry about the team, you know, put your personal situation aside. And more times than not, when you do that and you play good football, you know, those sort of things look after themselves.
It does indeed. Now, mate, we need the army, don't you? Need the Melbourne Victory Army. Yeah. They'll be out in force. So it's Amy Park Sunday, and I'm sure they'll be there, mate.
Yeah, looking forward to, like I said. And no doubt, you know, when they sign up as members and come along and support us at the start of the year, this is, you know, what they want. This is what they thrive. So we've got a home final. No doubt they'll come out and support us well, like they always do. And we look forward to putting on a good show for them.
Biggest club, biggest membership, Bill. No
they
surprise
biggest
there.
Club. And, you know, last time they won the premiership, Jim, was when poor old Frank Lowry fell off the stage.
Lowy even. He did go for a bit of a tumble. Were you on the stage at that stage, Kev?
Yes, I was. A long time ago now, mate, but I was up there. It wasn't a good moment.
Did the full sort of 360
land on his head and bounce straight up and got back up on the stage?
He did. He wouldn't take no for an answer, and he didn't come back out and presented the trophy.
And, of course, that trophy, the toilet seat it is, Jim. The toilet seat. That's what you win.
No, it's better than the toilet
seat. No, it looks like a bloody toilet seat, Kev.
It doesn't. I'd be disappointed if they get rid of it now. It's because a little bit of history. You know, we've lifted it three times ourselves. So I'm happy for it to stay, mate.
Good. Hey, Kev, good luck. Good boy. From everyone who listens to The Rush Hour, and that's pretty much everyone in Melbourne, we wish you well, and I'm sure you won't even need it.
Good on you, boys. Thanks for your support.
Good on you, Muskie. Get into a Muskie.
Star.
Oh, he was a hard.
Why, wasn't he hard? But
tough.
Just went after him.
They go after anyone.
He did. It was like Vinnie Jones. Vinnie used to just go after him.
Hey, mate, that'll be because City were terrible, Jim. City were terrible on the weekend.
Yeah, and that's unusual.
Turned the toes up. They did. Well,
they got smashed. That won't happen.
But it won't happen to victory. Get victory over the line. Then they take on Sydney, as you said.
Yep.
And then it's on like Donkey Kong.
All right.
The member of the traffic party, James Brayshaw.
No, I'm not just a member. I'm the sole representative leader and about to be a state parliamentarian.
Yes, you will be. You'll get voted in, Jim.
In a landslide, Bill.
Yeah.
The traffic party I'm talking about here. And I'm bringing this up today because this morning, Bill, as soon as it rains, people completely forget how to drive.
They do.
It's actually no different, Bill. Rain, no rain, no different.
But you slow down, don't you?
Oh, Bill. You can slow down, but you don't do 30 Ks in a 60 zone just because it's raining.
That's right.
Last time I checked, you have still got rubber on your tyres. Mm-hmm. And your car's still going to work.
Yes.
So, but Bill, the election pledge I have today is this.
Righto.
All major roads, in fact I have two, all major roads through what I call our city access suburbs.
Arterials.
So what I'm going to, hang on a sec. Need to deliver properly.
Yes.
North Melbourne.
Yes.
Carlton. Fitzroy. Richmond, Hawthorne, Toorak, South Melbourne, but any suburb you need to travel through to get to the city.
Through the city, yeah.
That's it. We have a major road on those.
Mm-hmm.
They are, when you elect me, they are clear ways, Bill, from 6:30 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. in the morning and 3:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. at night. Exactly what they've done finally with Punt Road.
Yep.
And look at the difference that makes.
Exactly, Jim.
Pissed all the bloody parked cars off it.
And if there's a car there, you're allowed to bump
it. Well, it gets towed away.
Yeah.
And 500 minimum. That goes to my party.
I like it, Jim.
Because I'm not accepting the pay that all other politicians cop. No. I want more.
You want more? Now,
Bill,
of course you do.
I'll give you an example of this.
More holidays.
I'll give you an example of this. Glen Ferry Road, for instance, when you're travelling south, thousands of cars, because all the schools around there, thousands of cars pile past Kooyong Tennis Club on the right.
Yep.
Over the railway line, heading south, up towards Toorak Road, suddenly they've all got to merge into one lane because some Nimrod's parked his car at 8:30 in the morning.
Yep.
Doesn't happen under me, Bill.
No. Towed straight away.
Off.
Out. Finish,
and done. They're all these side roads. Park on them, selfish bastards.
Yeah, exactly.
And, Bill, I'm not just talking about that. Just an example.
Wound up.
These are all the way around. The beautiful city, a suburb of North Melbourne, the whole way around. Anything that's a major road going through there into the city is a clear way and enforced by being towed away.
Beautiful.
Mornings and night.
So then you got two lanes instead of one.
That's it, Bill. How's that going to help morning and afternoon traffic?
Oh, mate, the flow would be beautiful.
It'll be golden.
Yep.
And also, this one I might find harder to enforce.
Ooh.
Also, Bill, at that time of day,
no
major tram stops only.
Oh.
I'm sick of tram stopping and one passenger getting off, Bill. At that time of the morning.
Dude.
You only have like two or three tram stops and they're quite well spaced.
Well, they got to walk 2K, do they?
I don't care, Bill.
Jim.
It's a peak hour. I'm not having a bloody tram stop and hold thousands of cars up
for one passenger to get off. We need public transport, Jim.
Bill, in the peak hours, you have express trams.
Oh,
Bill, where only certain stops happen. Right, because this is the traffic party, Bill.
Poor old public transport users,
Bill,
Jim.
This is the traffic party.
Righto,
I represent people who drive cars.
Not the tram.
Yeah, the tram can have their own pox-ridden party. I'm the traffic party, and it'll be express trams, AM and PM, peak hour.
Why don't you take the trams off the road?
No, because they're allowed to be on the road rest of the time.
Oh, that's
In fact, they're allowed to be on the road then. They're just not allowed to stop at every stop.
Right.
Because it holds the cars up.
Geez.
All right, Bill, that might have to go to a referendum.
Yeah, we might have to debate that one.
But tow away clear ways It's just a winner.
Yeah.
I don't get why it doesn't exist.
I'm with you, Jim.
There'll be thousands of people ringing social media. They'll all be saying, Jim, just nominate and you're in.
Well, I'm just looking for that. He's tweeted in. There's a lady on the bike inbound on the freeway near Jeff's shed.
Well, there you go.
There's a lady on a bike.
That's not allowed.
What's she doing?
Well, she shouldn't be there, Bill.
Here we go. Oh, amen, Jimmy boy. Oh, amen.
Please.
Love the traffic party. I'll vote for you. Traffic does my head in.
It's called common sense,
That's
Bill.
Jackson.
Why don't we have any of it? We need to get Dan Andrews in here, and I need to talk to him about
perhaps,
the traffic party.
Jim's party could join with David Swartz, a surprise party.
What's that about?
I don't know. His platform is also the traffic. He's always talking about traffic coming from Geelong because he drives
of course,
up.
He knows
Ox,
all
big
about
Ox,
it.
Yeah. Yes,
all right. Well, anyway,
at the West Coast. Look at them ring. There's callers, Jim.
Of course they are, Bill. They're all over it. I'm telling you.
You should stand. I know you half kid here.
No, I do.
You should do something.
Well, I'm actually fully kid.
Well, you should do something.
Midweek Rub, not too far away. We look forward to that, of course. Every Wednesday, Jason Dunstall comes in with Damien Barrett, and we get to what has been a massive round of footy. The turnstiles are just clicking over beautifully,
Bill.
About
Monday night, 85,000.
Brilliant.
That surprised everyone.
Yeah, no doubt.
And then the next day, less than 24 hours later, 87,000. Yep.
So in the 170s over the 2 days, which is just quite extraordinary.
391,000 for the round five, which seemed to go for a week, but 391,000.
Did second highest round of football in the competition's history.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all going beautifully for the AFL, Bill. No doubt about that.
Greater Western Sydney, Leon Cameron denies his club has a discipline problem, but has had a chat to Toby Green and Heath Shaw, who both get out of control.
The heater does.
The heater does. Yep. Let's go a few things, of course. And even Toby gets mixed up with a few little...
Well, and Jeremy Cameron is one of the more suspended players of recent times.
Stevie.
Yeah, well, Stevie, of course.
So they've got a few up there, haven't they? Because did you see that? Toby Green headbutted Isaac Heaney. It was only a little one, Jim, but he got away with it, luckily.
There's a nice history brewing between those two. They don't like each other at all.
They don't. Did you see that game? Sydney kicked the first four goals. First four goals, Jim.
Brilliant.
Bang, 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 bang. Didn't kick one for a while then, and then the Giants just... But they're the kings now, aren't they?
They are. They've owned Sydney. Around. But I just, every time one of those games happens between those two clubs, stuff comes out, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like what Heater said, and that was all dealt with. But the one before when Big Mummy climbed into a couple, including Bud.
He did.
So there's just a lot of ill feeling between, which I love, by the way.
But they wouldn't see each other, like not in Melbourne.
No.
You wouldn't see each other out in Sydney, would you?
Not
so
much.
I think
thought.
They just, that's the only time they'd see
and
each other.
And they don't like each other.
No.
And the administrations don't like each other. And for me, that's gold.
All right.
Why not?
No, good.
More of it, Bill.
I like it.
The rivalries are eking out of our game, and I like them back.
You like them back?
Oh, yeah. I want them strong. Like, who, when you played, who did you dislike the most?
West Coast Eagles beat us a couple of grand finals, but that wasn't a long... There's always the Hawthorn... Even back then, there was the Hawthorn games. You know, Geelong-Hawthorn. So, and it's a nice little rivalry now, obviously. Who else?
They're brilliant, Bill. Well, obviously, Richmond-Carlton is an enormous one.
Carlton-Collingwood,
North Essendon. And, Bill, I think they're brilliant.
Yep.
And if you talk to anyone from the States who runs, you know, the sport over there, they build them up. They make the rivalries enormous.
So what do you reckon the biggest interstate... Would have to be Adelaide.
Port Adelaide and the Crows. They detest each
you're
other.
You're talking about Sydney and the Giants. That's a big one.
Well, I'm more talking about the United States where, like, the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers detest each other.
Yeah.
And they really spend a lot of time and effort building these massive rivalries up.
Yeah.
Whereas we had them in our game, and they've been allowed to go a bit, I reckon.
But which one do you reckon? Interstate here in Australia?
Oh, no, Adelaide and Port.
Adelaide and Port.
They cannot stand each other.
And they had that punch up. That was all great
Ramsgate,
folklore.
Ramsgate, of course. And also on field, they've had huge Blues.
But you'd have to say Freo and West Coast, that's a good one. And as we're talking about now, Sydney and the Giants is a good one.
And Stephen May upending Stephen Martin up there. So, Bill, they're good for the game.
But the biggest one would be Port and Adelaide. I'm with you there.
So we need here in Melbourne to find a way, I think, to reignite them a bit. Because I reckon they've just leaked out.
You need a couple of characters from each side to come out and build them up. That's why Teddy Whitten was so good, wasn't he? When Victoria, doesn't matter who they were playing.
Yep. Stick it up them.
Yeah, exactly, all that.
But Hawthorn, Essendon.
Yeah,
no
they're
in the sand game. We just need it, Bill. It's
but
good.
Doomie and even Chief, we'll ask him later, but they even say now they hate Essendon.
Did you hear Mark Harvey prior to the Anzac Day game? We had him on air.
Yeah.
He said he played, remembers playing in the first Anzac Day game where Dermot was playing for Collingwood.
Yeah.
And he said, I look around and Dermot's prancing around, strutting around like he owns the joint, like he's almost marking his territory. So he said, before the game started, I thought I needed to give him a clip.
Did he? Harb said that.
He said.
Did he give him one?
He gave him one, and the free kick was given to Dermot before the siren had even sounded to start the game.
Did you?
He's had a shot on goal.
You love that about Harb. Mate. And he wasn't that big. He's smallish type, but he'd give it to him.
I don't even remember that happening. I remember the drawn game, of course, but before the thing even got underway, he's given away a free by belting Dermot. We've done this periodically over our time as, of course, Rush Hour Dominators, as well as myself. And that is, you know you're getting old when, Bill.
Yes.
The reason we're doing this one today, 133353 family, get involved, answer this question, you know you're getting old when, you wear the worst pair of glasses I've ever seen on a man.
Who?
I walk into our office today, and there's Fool's Head Brownless.
Yeah.
With where did you get them from?
Well, Jim, last time we did this topic, I told you I cannot read the paper, can't read the Herald Sun properly. It's a bit blurry, and I'm too vain to buy glasses. Anyway, I was telling Jill. Jill went over and bought them for me. $8 those were too.
What, just at a chemist or something?
Well, I don't know where she got them. A chemist or somewhere.
Yeah.
Chemist warehouse. Actually, right. They're not that dear. No, that's where we should have gone.
Good, you should have gone there.
Jill. Anyway, $8, she brings them back. I put them on.
The worst looking things I've ever seen.
I cannot believe how well you can read, Jim.
I don't care, Bill. Seeing ain't that important.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't. Not when it makes your head look as stupid as that.
Actually, I think
what have we done, Leroy? It's up online?
It's up on Facebook and Twitter at Triple M's Rush Hour if you want to check out Bill.
I look sophisticated. No, I look intelligent.
No, you don't.
No.
You look like a sort of a fat Greg Fleet.
Peter, the Greg Fleet. He looks like me,
Bill.
I don't look like him.
Yeah, yes.
Where is Fleety?
Fleety's dominated the Fleet Industries. They've dominated the festival. So get online and have a look at Fool's Head Brownless. Yes. Honestly, you can look good in glasses like Jeff Goldblum, who was handing out sausages there in Sydney.
What's he doing handing out sausages?
I'm buggered if I know. Right. Part of Jurassic World 2 or something in Sydney to promote
at him.
But he's a good-looking man with glasses, Bill.
Hey.
You are not.
There's going to be more lining up now, Jim.
No, Bill.
Yes, there is, Jim.
So you know you're getting old when you have to wear glasses like Bill's and they look horrendous.
Yes.
If you've got an answer to that question, you know you're getting old when.
Bit of feedback on Bill's photo on,
he's right.
on Facebook and what Twitter. Wearing the glasses. Basically, one word, flog, is what it looks like. Also, Dame Edna called. She wants the glasses back, Bill.
Oh, Andrew, good one.
They are horrendous.
Hayley Campbell, love it, Bill. You look spunky.
No.
Glenn Hair, yes, please.
Can't say that anywhere.
And no one's, and that's not written anywhere.
Leroy, no good.
Oh!
That's definitely written there.
Bill. Hey, I tell you, you're getting old, Jim.
When?
When people you grew up watching TV with start dying. Like Joni Cunningham. See, she died.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, from Happy Days.
Hey,
she
our
died.
Thoughts go with the great Bert Newton too, who's well and truly with us, but I understand battling a bit with health. And so I know he listens to the show. No, he's still, of course, the legend, the king. He's still with us, but he's not going as well as we'd like him to be, Bert. The great man.
Very good man.
So we're sending all the Rush Hour family's best wishes with the great Bert Newton.
Yes.
Now, Paul joins us first in Carlton. How are you, Paul?
G'day, boys. How are we going?
You know you're getting old when?
When you're moaning and groaning, getting off the couch.
No, or bending over to pick something up, Paul.
Yes.
That's it.
I know. Exactly. How embarrassing. I still listen to my old man do that.
Do that.
And think, that's never going to be
me. Now
you
do it, don't you?
I know.
Chop the soap, Jim.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Bill. Liam, of course you do. I don't use soap.
Don't you use soap?
Nah, Liam, what do you use? I use the pumps.
Jeez,
I haven't had soap in a shower.
I just went and bought some Palmolive.
I beg your pardon?
I went and bought some soap, Jim.
Get that written down, Leroy.
I bought some soap the other day.
Oh, no.
Liam, I love it.
Liam in South Morang. Hello, Liam.
Liam.
How you going, boys?
Yeah, you're getting old. When? Yeah. What, Liam?
You know, you get old when the candles on your birthday cake set off the smoke alarm.
Yes.
It's true.
Oh, no. Geez, it's a worry, Bill. It is a worry. Rowan in Epping North. Rowan?
Rosa.
Yeah. G'day, boys. Billy, I just want to also thank you for being part of the greatest team of all in the 90s to never win a flag. Go the Cats.
Yeah, you're spot on. We were nearly the greatest team of all.
That was actually Chiefs' team that were.
Yeah, I know. They were probably.
Right, okay.
Well, we had
boys.
How do you know you're getting old?
Mate, you know you're getting old when you're jogging down the stairs and your boobs start to shake, mate.
Boy, Bill. Yeah, Jim, I know that.
You know that feeling?
I do. Actually, they do jump up and down. But I think it's because I've put on a bit of muscle.
You can get rid of them.
How?
Well, by losing weight.
No, I think because I've been on the weights.
Oh, that's built them up.
They're like pectorals.
Oh, no. Gav's in Whittlesea. Hello, Gav.
Gav.
How are you guys?
Good, Gav. You know you're getting old when?
How you getting old when you used to go out at 7:30 and instead you're putting your PJs and your slippers on ready for bed?
I tell you what, mate, when you go out and, you'd go out and you're home by 10 or 11.
And in bed by 9.
Oh, I love that. Just when you got a night off, you have a shower, yeah. Get the tracky pants on, your UGG boots.
Yes.
Bill, good.
Mate, you don't tell anyone and you don't want anyone coming around.
You just sit on the couch. Yes. You watch whatever you want. Oh, I tell you.
It is good.
No better night than that for me. And that's, I am getting old.
Yeah, yeah.
Hayden's in Cranbourne. Hello, Haydos.
G'day, mate. How you going?
Good. You getting old, when?
You need a hand to use the remote control for the TV or whatever.
Done that, drive you nuts.
Mate, done
especially
that.
Netflix, because it's got to go through your bloody iBox or whatever that thing's called.
And iBox.
You know those stupid Xbox games that the kids have?
Yeah.
And so I don't know how to get it on. Then I don't know how to change the channel.
Nothing worse.
It drives me nuts.
I had to ring up Oscar the other day and say, come around now. Like blamed him because I was that frustrated. Fix this telly.
I know. It is. Well said, Haydos.
Yep.
Daniel in Keilor East, Bill.
Hello, Daniel's son.
How are we, Bill?
Good, mate.
Hello, mate.
You sound like you're getting a bit old, too.
How do you know you're getting old?
Well, Bill nearly stole me thunder before, but when all your sports heroes you follow when you're growing up, either retired or croaked, it dropped off.
Mate. Oh, a lot of music people, Jim, that you would have grown up.
Last 18 months.
Haven't they? A lot dropped off.
Yeah. Prince, the great David Bowie.
Yes.
Leonard Cohen. Bill, that is a sure sign in that when you start thinking, geez, I used to worship that bloke, and now he's actually
remember
not with us.
Remember Joni? Joni's only, Joni Cunningham.
Well, she wouldn't have been. She'd have been older than us, Joni, wouldn't she?
Oh, I don't know.
All right. Well, anyway, I like that. Who are we up to?
Chris
in Hastings. Hello, Chrissy.
Yeah, g'day, fellas. How you going?
Good.
Love the show, boys. Love the show.
How old are you, Chris?
I'm 51 years old, mate.
Geez, you don't sound it.
Yeah, no, I am.
And how did you know you're starting to get old?
Okay, you know you're getting old when on Sunday I went to my 15-year-old footy game.
Yep.
And the boundary umpire did his knee. And I had to do four quarters of the boundary.
Oh, no.
And, I was at three-quarter time, I told the trainer to go and get the stretcher ready for the end of the game.
Oh, that's a good effort. 51. He's watching his son. He had to do the boundary.
Oh, no.
Good on you, Chrissy.
Well done. That's
good
funny.
Effort.
And and not easy either. As the winter gets on, like when it gets to bloody July.
No, but now, even now.
All around the boundary is muddy and slippery, and they got their running shoes on, and they're just dads.
Yeah, just
sliding
dads.
Around all over the place. Hilarious. Andrew's in Frankston. Drew?
Yes,
okay, boys. How
are
you going?
No, you're getting old, when?
First time, long time. You know you're getting old when your 2.5-year-old shows you how to use your mobile phone.
No.
She got a hold of my wife's phone and was showing me how to subscribe to things on YouTube, showing me how to open up Facebook.
Oh, bloody mother.
She was just showing me stuff on the phone that even I was bamboozled by.
Doesn't it drive you mad how quick they can navigate it all, too? You're just like, well, how'd you do that?
Yeah, exactly.
Chris in Shepparton. Hello, Chris.
Hello. How are you?
Hey, Chris.
How are you going?
Great.
Good.
Did you hear all that rain up in Shep?
Well, I haven't actually been in Shep today. I've been somewhere else. So we had a bit of rain, yeah.
Oh, where you been today, Chris?
I've been in Avenel.
Oh, Avenel, Jim. Do you know where that is?
No idea.
Seymour. Oh, yeah. They've got an airport there. They do all the hang gliding there, don't they?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
No, they do.
Oh, no, skydiving in the Gambie.
Yeah, Nagambi skydiving.
Bill, anyway, Chris, what are you ringing it for, though?
Well, I think, you know, you're getting old when you have to put in your date of birth on the computer and you have to keep scrolling down to the point here.
Yes.
What about that?
Oh, doesn't that annoy
they
you?
They don't have the 1975, Jim, for me.
Yeah, don't they?
Yeah. Well, how old are you, Chrissy? How far do you go down?
I'm 47. Ooh. Yeah, so I have to find 1969.
Yeah. Yep.
Good year, that.
It is a good year.
Okay, well, I like that. That's good. Stay there. Maddie's in Pakenham. Hello, Maddie.
Hi, boys. How are we?
You know you're getting old.
Oh, the dreaded hangover, Bill.
Oh,
three to 4 days now, mate.
Mate, that is exactly right. You used to bounce back. You'd be back in it for a Sunday session. Now you're on the couch for 2 days.
Yeah, you're not wrong there, mate.
Full strength Coke, Maddie.
There's
still no substitute.
Potato cake?
Yeah, you need to go for a full strength Coke early on and then reset.
But you can't back up again.
No.
No.
Well, no, of course you can't.
Well, but we used to, Matty, in the good old days.
Yeah, the old days, mate. I'm in the 40s now. Yeah. I mean, when you're 21, it's okay. 25, but soon you get those 40s.
Yeah, no. I'm with you. I'm totally with you.
Spot on.
All right, Bill. No, oh, nice topics.
Yeah, I know.
Now on Triple M's Russia.
They come from everywhere.
It's a beauty.
This is the Midweek Run.
AEG Power Tools, now with more than 30 heavy-duty tools.
Triple M rocks football.
Hello, boys. I'm just having to put these half-witch right on something they're trying to accuse me of. I'm talking about the Midweek Rub, boys. I've got Damien Barrett here, the best newsbreaker in the Caper, and Hawthorne legend, Jason Dunstall. Hello, gents.
Good afternoon, everyone, and great to be here. Great to be talking to everyone, Bill. And I was just astounded when I found out that the former Prez stormed out of the game.
Never did that.
Just stormed out on the weekend.
No, I didn't do that. No, I had another commitment, so I stayed as long as I could on Good Friday and then left with about 2.5 minutes to go.
Right. Other commitment of vintage Waller Red, was it?
It hurt me. That was part of the other commitment. Because I thought we might storm home, and in the end we didn't. So maybe it was good that I wasn't there. Now, listen, Collingwood yesterday. Well, let me just say that before that we get to Collingwood yesterday, Purple, what a triumph Monday night rolled into Tuesday was.
Yeah.
170, what, 5,000 people?
Yep, basically. And the second greatest AFL attended round in history, the greatest being round one this particular season.
Yep.
So they've had a really good 5 weeks on attendance. But the Monday night game, the brainchild of Simon Matthews at Richmond Footy Club, or at least someone who's urged for it long before it was implemented a few years ago, it clearly works, Jim.
Oh,
and
no.
The ceremony around it, as we discussed on the Tuesday
round. Because it's that night.
Yeah, I think you're
so
right.
So we've got to head towards Twilight Grand Finals. All night grand
final.
Well,
it works on a Monday night because it's at night and you get a public holiday Tuesday.
No, it works because
if there was no public holiday Tuesday, you wouldn't get that.
Well, there's a public holiday. There's holidays on after the grand final.
What?
We're talking grand final. Twilight
Friday.
Bill's trying to mount a case for the Twilight grand final.
I'm with you there, Bill. I'm with you.
Well, what are you arguing then?
You were saying it was a success on Monday night because it was a night game.
Yeah, well, that helped.
I think you know what he's saying, don't you, Chief?
Kind of.
Chief, the thing I will say, though, and you're right, if there's no public holiday the next day and all the rest of it, mightn't have got 85, but it's still grown year on year, this game, and it's now got, I think, a real presence.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely it has. So we've got those two cracking games now. I think it's Tuesday night and Wednesday next year, isn't it?
Yep.
So it goes back a day. But I think every time we can establish a blockbuster like that, all the better.
And I love the ceremony they do because it's different to the next day, but it's got its own really special sort of feel about it.
It does. It does. And if you go back to the Friday night game in Adelaide, Jim, the ceremony around all the Anzac Day commemoration, Chief, which, again, I think we discussed it a couple of years ago, Chief. I didn't like them initially doing it on every game in the Anzac round. I now do because of the individual supporter groups that don't get to see it unless they go to the footy.
All right, let's talk yesterday because that's front and centre. Collingwood 1-4. They had a crack yesterday. You have to say they did, but in the end, the better team on the day won and probably could have won by more.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment of it. Jim, you caught it, obviously, and that was the way it played. They kept coming, as they have done for most of the year. But it gets back to the conversation, Chief, which has been a regular one post the Collingwood game this year. The systems just are not working the way they plan them to work.
I find it really interesting, though, because you've got Sydney winless, North winless, Hawthorne have only just found a way to win one game, and yet all the fascination is around Nathan Buckley and Collingwood, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, but I mean, you know why. I mean, it's sixth year. Every single year he's had control of that footy club, he's taken it backwards from the previous position, and it started obviously from a grand final in 2011 into a preliminary final, into an elimination final, into 3 years of non-finals, and every year being worse than the previous one, and this is shaping up to be, again, that.
And I suppose the critics, Chief, would say that you go and get Chris Main, you go and get Daniel Wells, you go and get Hoskin Elliott. Mm. You're doing those things because you think you are actually going the other way.
Well, Hoskin Elliott's young, so no problem. I think he'll be a good recruit.
Oh, I think he's
Chris
brilliant.
Main.
And I thought Wells played very well first up.
He did.
They need him.
It's funny, he got better as the game went on, and yet he still never quite looks as though he's 100% fit, does he? For whatever reason.
Yep.
Main for me is a curious one. And I guess you just have to wait and see it at least till the end of the year, if not a couple of years, to see what value they get out.
Okay, so what I said then was not a criticism of either of those three. It's more that people will say, well, if you're going to do that, then your expectation is X. And if your performance is a long way off your expectation, that's where the questions come.
Yeah,
but it depends what you're giving up for those players too, doesn't it?
Well, it does, but if that's all you've got though, Chief, I mean, you go to the back line, you've got Reed and Shade down there. So, and look, there's more than serviceable. Reed clearly isn't the player he was in 2010. Shade's still just an emerging talent. You go forward, Chief, Darcy Moore, I know he's a third-year player. I know he hasn't got the support. But the bottom line is he is not performing. They brought back Mason Cox yesterday, having, I suppose, worked and toiled with Jesse White. He was omitted for that particular game. It's not working at either end of the ground for them, is it?
No, it's not. They've built a very, very powerful midfield. It is a very, very, you know, good depth and good quality in it. But I'm with you, Warrie. There are holes and decent-sized holes at both ends in the key position stops.
And interestingly enough, and I'm not one to read a lot into when coaches identify individuals, Bill, a post-match. Because I think it's just an honest answer. And Nathan Buckley did that yesterday. I thought he answered the question really well, Jim, about what did you make of Pendlebury's game? What did you make of Taylor Adams? What did you make of the midfield? And he was quite critical in a coach sense. There was no coach talk in it. He just called it as he said it. And he said they would be disappointed with their impact. So I liked it. But when
Pendlebury fit?
Well, I reckon that's a big question. But again,
spent a lot of time forward, didn't he?
All you can do is ask the question every time you get a chance to, and he keeps saying he is, and Nathan Buckley won't give him an out.
66 inside 50s. So that's just not working, is it? So
well, they're last in the competition for converting into goals once they get inside 50, and they're also last in the competition for conversion.
Yeah.
So maybe if they could straighten up a little bit of the kicking, that might take the pressure off in terms of how many goals.
And Donald Trump may just inspire our man from the morning, the hot seat, the hot seat and the hot breakfast, Ed. He may just, because he's always had the ability to speak as strongly and as directly and as sort of incredibly passionately about his club as anyone in recent history. And he had a crack this morning. Have a listen.
Every time I've looked for Nathan Buckley, as a player, as a person, as a coach, he has never let me or the Collingwood Football Club down. Any time that he has been required to step to the line, he steps and he steps forward before you even ask him to. There has been no greater servant of the Collingwood Football Club. There is no better person to have our club's future in his hands than Nathan Buckley. He will do whatever is required to the best of his ability. Now, the results will come and the results will be decided upon and action will be taken, because no person, whether it's the president or the coach or a player or anybody, is bigger than the club.
So what do you make of all of that, Purple?
I'll make you of that, that they're going to get as far into 2017 as they possibly can before anything is going to be done. And I think it's the right ploy too. I mean, history will tell you that if you were to make a call early on a coach, it doesn't get any easier from that moment on for the remainder of that interim capacity of that new person in. Nathan Buckley, I think, being the person and quality of person and Collingwood person that he is, deserves the entirety, or at least close to it, of the duration of his contract, which is the end of 2017.
We all know Nathan Buckley in this room, Purple, and he is a quality individual.
Yep.
But it will come a time, if the result is that he doesn't remain as Collingwood coach, there will come a time when he will look everyone in the eye and say, well, you judge by win-loss, and if my win-loss isn't good enough for me to retain the job, then I won't retain it. I mean, that's how pragmatic he is.
You're big on this element to him, aren't you? You've had this before. I hear what you're saying, Jim, but I find he to be so driven that he's never going to concede.
No, he won't concede. But if there comes a time when Ed has to tap him on the shoulder and say, listen, we've got to go a different way, I reckon at that point Nathan will say, well, you know what? You know, if that is the case, then it's because, you know, I haven't done what I've been paid to do.
Yeah, well, Jim, I hear what you're saying. I reckon that is how it is going to play out. I think it'll have to be an Ed tap on the shoulder to get him into that mindset. But if you were to make the tap on the shoulder right now, there's only one outcome.
Oh, yeah, but that's not going to happen. And I don't think it should happen either. They should back him. He's got a contract in place. But the big game, Bill, is this weekend. They've got to stand up against the Cats. I mean, the Cats are in ripping form. They're 5-0.
Yes.
MCG, Collingwood's home ground. They've got a big crowd there on Sunday.
Big crowd. So Geelong home game.
For Bucks, that's the thing. You'll go, we'll judge us on what happens this weekend.
Of course. They'll come out and have a go. You'd expect the Cats to win it, but they've had some interesting games against the Cats over the journey. They've done really well against the Cats, so that'll be a good one.
He's saying that with a smirk on.
No, I'm not.
You've already ticked off the game.
No, I have not. You don't get ahead of it a week at a time.
Oh, Bill.
I'll tell you what is interesting, the next
one.
They play the next one. They play Geelong.
Yes.
Then they play Carlton.
So he chalked the Geelong.
Yeah, so he's already looking at them being 1-6 heading into.
No, I'm not. The next 2 weeks are going to be very important for Bucks and Collingwood. That's all you want to see, a bit of grunt, a bit of something. That's what the
supporters. Well, they've got
a bit of grunt.
Well, kick some goals and do something.
There's no spark, though.
What's the disconnect? Why? Because what I'm hearing is that they do it all the training and Bucks is up there and he's got it on the whiteboard and everything's there. And then they run out in the ground and they all just disconnect.
It's hard to replicate pressure of a game at training, Bill. And you can do it as pretty as you like when you're running around a training track, knowing there's nothing at stake and it doesn't really matter. But when you're in the heat of the game, that's where the players with good skills really stand out.
Mm-hmm. One of the more disgraceful voting for the Anzac Day medal I've ever seen, Purple, because I've got no issue with Joe Danaher winning the medal, but for the Araz, old Razzle Dazzle Fantasia, to only end up with one vote overall, four goals won, 18 kicks, yep. 6 marks yep. as a small forward.
And you called him a potential Anzac Day medalist before he had one kick.
And Bill.
And that's why he's shirty.
Chief, he had Anzac Day medal written all over him, the little Araz.
We were actually sitting there watching the game thinking, if he kicks one more...
They'll
probably be putting it around his neck. Five in those conditions.
Yeah. Well, Jim, you'll be pleased to know that the coaches gave him some sizable acknowledgement out of that game. I'll call it up as we speak.
But
from memory, I think it was four out of the ten votes, Chieftain. Bill's got it. Yeah, but at least they put him in. It means that he's probably got votes from two coaches.
Joe Danaher got 9. Araz got 5.
There you go. He came second.
So Joe Danaher 9, Araz, Zach Merritt, he's a good player. Now, he uses it well.
He does.
He got 5. Great player. Brendan Goddard, he's been good this year, by the way.
Darcy Parrish as well was very good.
Adam Treloar 3, Jeremy Howe 2, Joe Watson and Daniel Wells 1.
Mm, yep.
Did the boys give Anthony McDonald, Tip and Woody a vote yesterday?
No, they didn't.
The coaches didn't either.
I thought him up forward.
Yeah.
I like him.
Ooh, pressure.
It was great to see, even though it hurts me to watch him play for another club, it was great to see Wellesley, those middle two quarters, just starting to get back to what he can do. Just hope he gets a run at it and can play as many games on end as possible and just provide us all with this visual joy that he has for his whole career. He's a champ. Brad Scott, last night, I didn't see it on Footy Classified. What happened there?
Yeah, it came on and obviously came on the back of a 0-5 start to the season. And as we've spoken about a few times on Triple M platforms, Jim, 3 of the 5 losses being by less than a kick and all of those 3 losses being a situation where that North was at least high 4 goals up and in one case 5 goals up at that stage. So there was a few questions put to him and the future of him on the back of Ned Kelly, Craig Kelly, his manager, going, having a conversation with Brisbane Lions last year, and that also followed a conversation he'd had 2 years earlier, Chief, with the Gold Coast Suns. So a bit of questions about Brad Scott's future, and he addressed that situation last night on Footy Classified.
I'm committed to doing what's best for North, and if the club consistently feel that that's me, then that's what I'll be doing, and we've got to keep analysing that.
Do you think it's you?
Right at the moment it is, but we'll keep analysing that. At the end of the year, we'll analyse it. And if they still want me and I feel like I'm the best person for the job, that's where I'll be.
Warrior, is there a hint of similarity between the Maguire-Buckley relationship and Brayshaw, Brad Scott sort of thing? Is that what it might take? Should any adjustment be made?
In that under Jim's time as North chairman, that was the one coaching decision he made. Yep. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Mm. No, I don't think there is, though, Chief. No, I'd like to go along with it, but I don't think there is.
What about, do you reckon, just quietly?
I'm not there anymore, Chief.
Brad Scott.
No, I was just trying to hang it out.
Brad Scott won't agree with this, either will North Melbourne, but do you reckon they might be quite reasonably happy with the way things are going down there? They're honourable losses, been very, very competitive, a lot of game time into these young kids, Vickers Willis and Jermont and Turner and Garner and Wood and Pruce, the big ruckman.
Well, he dropped Pruce.
Yeah, week. But he's going to play him again. He's got to play him
twice out of the five games. He's got a late call up in one of them.
He's got to play him again. They're all getting nice game time. They'll get an early pick this year, and which they could even swap for Josh Kelly. Or they get another good kid.
The moment you sell hope, Bill, on what you can get by way of a draft pick at the round 5 of a season, when you are 0-5, it's a long season, Bill.
No, and they'll win a couple of games because they're good enough. They're going all right. Yes, they are. They're going all right.
This weekend.
They're not the worst.
Gold Coast at home, they'd have to start favourites.
They are favourites.
So they'd win that. Well, they should.
Will they?
Well, they should. But they get a lot of good game time into these young kids. They can play a lot of these kids.
Well, can they play well?
I reckon. Yeah. Well,
the only way you're going to find out, Purple, is by them playing.
Yeah. I'm not as buoyant about them, Jim.
They haven't played all the last 3 years. North took 7 straight years of draft picks, and a lot of those kids just have not been seen. So you've either got to play them and find out, or you've got to trade them out. So I like the fact that they're playing them and finding out.
Did you write that material down for Bill?
No.
Bill
came in to me and said, this is what I'm going to say. I said, Bill, I've never told you what to say on this show in the 6 years we've done it, so you can say whatever you like.
Well, last year when there was something North, you made me say something about North last year.
Yeah, that we're flying and 9-0 and maybe had to be bloody positive.
That's something else.
Yeah, hey, something else it was.
We need to get to a break. We've got lots more to discuss, by the way. What are Melbourne going to do for Ruckman for a start? Oh. Who will win between Adelaide and Richmond on the weekend?
And we're going to find out.
Yes, all of the above. Mm.
You've got the midweek run for AEG Power Tools on Triple M. James Brayshaw, Billy Brownless, Jason Dunstall and Damien Barrett.
Oh, the AEG, the best in the business too, the Power Tools. Great to have them on board.
The trimmer, the blower, you got them all there. Lawnmowers, Jim, they are unbelievable.
Hey, Melbourne, how do they progress without Max Gawn and...
Jake Spencer.
Jake Spencer, and they don't have... The only other one they've got on their list whose name escapes me, Chief,
Mitch King.
He's got an issue with his knee and he's coming back from an ACL, so he's got to work his way back into it.
Cam Peterson is the man.
Well, Cam Peterson will be the one, I think. And look, to be brutally honest, I reckon... I don't want to put a knock on the Tigers, but if they didn't lose two players Monday night, I think Melbourne would have won that game of footy. Mm. Now, there's lots of ifs and buts in footy, and Tigers did what they needed to do, and they got the points. But... massive loss to lose Jake Spencer. Yeah. So I think Pedersen's the one that comes in, and Jack Watts will probably be the second ruckman that gives him a little spell now and then. And I thought he battled manfully.
He did.
Against the bloke that was twice as big.
Yep. Yep.
And Sam Frost did a bit of it as well, but I felt for Jack Watts.
He's going all right, Nankervis, isn't he?
He's playing well.
My intel with Melbourne, Chief, is that they do, obviously, more and rely more on their stoppage dominance to get their whole game plan going than almost any other club in the comp.
Because of who they have there.
Because Gawn is just such a freak. Then they just go, right, oh, well, let's set up, as you would, because he is an X-factor player for them and an X-factor player for their style. So for him to go down and now Spencer to go down, it's a radical change of the way you play mid-season.
And it's so hard to work out who's got niggles because Nathan Jones didn't look 100% on Monday night and you didn't get the output from him that you would normally get. Jack Viney was, I thought he was down a bit on Monday night. So, look, there's plenty of areas they can improve on, but it's going to take a big job from Pedersen or whoever comes in to give them a chop out.
Now, Chief, did you catch up with the big stoush in town over the past 72 hours?
Bill and who?
Our man Duck against Clarko.
From what I hear, Clarko's blueing with everyone, isn't he?
Yep. A couple of journos and then...
You still talk to him? You're close to Clarko.
Oh, only once in a while, mate, but I haven't spoken to him for a while.
Well, he had lined up a couple of journos that Damien highlighted last week, but
I was just glad it wasn't me for.
So what happened there, Damo? So Duck,
Duck said some comments, didn't he, Jim, on the Saturday. No,
we're all over that.
About Sewell Rioli.
Yeah,
Clarko didn't like them.
Yes,
and as such, they came together yesterday morning for a catch up. I believe Duck instigated it. He spoke openly about it. He said that Alistair Clarkson had apologised to him for smashing him post match about the comments on Sewell Rioli, and Duck also conceded, Chief, that he may not have, in an ideal world, ventured into that space with footy rumour.
Well, I think Clarko's like most coaches. If they think something's been said or written about a player or the club that doesn't reflect well, they will back them to the hilt and they will defend them to the hilt. How they do that, well, whether they do it in the right fashion or the wrong fashion, I guess, is up for debate. But I didn't hear the exchange. I don't know what's been said and done, but... I know Clark will defend the players to the hilt all day, every day.
And did.
Who wins this weekend with the two top teams going at each other? Well, two of the top teams going at each other. Are they actually 1-2?
Yeah.
They are 1-2,
They're 5-0.
5-0 each.
Well, the home side wins. Adelaide.
You would think so.
But easily, are they clearly a better team than Richmond or not?
Yeah, I think they are. At the minute, they are.
They kick 130 points a week too. Mm.
Is Rory Sloane the most underrated player in the comp?
I don't think so. I don't think we underrate him at all. I think maybe a couple of years ago.
Rory Laird is the most unrated player in the competition.
You found Rory Sloane, Jim.
No.
He's playing about his seventh game at the MCG, and you met his mad mates.
And not for reasons of football spotting pedigree. It was just because his reptile mates from Upway Tacoma all came down to watch.
That's right.
And Bill. We saw him on the way in, and they were sideways.
Had a slab over the shoulder.
Bill, it was only about 11:30 when I saw him, and they were dead set sideways. And then we got a microphone over to him, and we had to be real careful because some of the stuff.
But then you went on with Mad Mates for
Mad Mate Sloane. Yep. But he is ahead in the coaches' votes. I think he's the number one ranked player in the coaches'
votes. He is two votes clear of Selwood.
I'm not sure. I don't, Chief, because you see a lot of it and are a discerning viewer. I'm not sure that enough people in footy know how good he is. That's my view.
I reckon they do. He's a hey.
I'd like to think we do. Look, there's no doubt we go over the top on a couple of players that tend to get all the credit. But I think we're starting to recognise all those other good players. But, and there's a hell of a lot.
But
of
it's
them.
Funny, a bloke like Dangerfield, who was as good a player probably over in Adelaide, but he comes over here and it just goes up another level, I reckon, with the media.
Yep.
You've got to be here. You've got to be in Melbourne. This is where it all happens. Listen to the Saturday Rub on the weekend. Very nice show.
Yes.
Have a listen to this. Daniel Jan Syracuse had this to say about the Western Bulldogs.
We've got guys that can play half back and you can't fit them all into that back rotation. So we have to find other places to play them. That is an element of surprise. But I think the way Bevo coaches, you've got to be able to play two positions. That's how we throw the magnets around, and hopefully that keeps us in front of the opposition.
So every player's got to play two positions. When you look at the Western Bulldogs, every player does and can play two positions.
You've come a long way, Bill. Jim, you're letting Bill throw to edits and interviews and things like that.
You did go and organise that without my knowledge.
Mm. Well, we do know that most players have to be flexible now, so I don't think that's anything that you've unearthed there, Bill, that people aren't aware of.
But you always, Springer will be up, Jerry Springer.
Springer
will be up the forward line, then he's in the middle. They throw him around. That's what you like about the Doggies. They do throw him around.
Hasn't just started with Jake Stringer, though.
You couldn't have played two positions, though.
No, you're a one.
No,
position,
I could. No, absolute rubbish.
I could have played fat full forward that didn't hardly move out of the square.
I could also have played forward pocket.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
I could have just moved out of the
side. Which you did in a State of Origin.
I was going to say,
Sorry?
You did in a State of Origin game, didn't you?
Yeah, when Ablett came along. Hey, when Ablett, you got moved.
No, I did not.
Yes, you did.
No, I did
Tony
not.
Where did Lockett play?
And I both played out of the square. And your boy Ablett was up on a half forward flank, my friend.
I think you'll find.
Go back and check.
Plugger was in the square.
Go back and check.
And you were out in the point post.
And have a look who put one lace out on Plugger's chest first up.
It would have been Gazza.
And then,
no, it was Steve.
Oh, point post Dunstall out there.
How did that conversation go, Chief, before you went out into the ground that day? How did you sort it out? Was it just who was the biggest chest?
The
or?
Funny thing was, during the week at training, Plugger said, I don't think this is going to work. I'm going to tell him I'm not playing. And then we have an official dinner after the training. That was before training when we used to get on all right. He just said, one of us should play, not two of us. And then...
You didn't talk to anyone.
Absolutely, did too. And then we have the official dinner after training, and old EJ, and they're all there. And they go, Plugger's got a few things he'd like to say. He said, look, I'm really committed to making this work with two of us coming out of the square. And I've gone, they've got to him. They got to him.
And how much did you win by that day?
A lot. We only played South Australia.
Was that the Tony Hall game?
Yeah, unfortunately, Andy Collins tackled him.
So how many goals? Lockett kicked what?
He got five.
What'd you get?
I got four.
And Ablett?
Four, wasn't it, I think?
Nah, but
three?
He got a couple of
He would have got eight or three.
What about our old man who's now headed off to SEN and we don't see him as much, Gary Lyon? He reckons he's never been a man treated more like chopped liver in his whole life. On about seven occasions, he reckons he had 40 metres of green grass around him. Ball never went anywhere near him.
Did he
play
that?
No!
Was he a centre forward?
I don't know where he was playing, but he reckons he was.
You better check that.
What
year was it?
Chief, friendless.
89, I'm not sure. Was he in it?
Friendless, any other forward in that game. It was all about three blokes and no one else mattered.
Might have been 91, Chief, I think. It's 91, I reckon.
Was that the only game you played for Victoria, Chief?
I reckon it's 91. Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah. I stand to be corrected on that, but I don't think it was 89. Yeah.
Was that the only game you played for Victoria, Chief?
I played three games.
Yes. And how'd the other ones go?
I won the Simpson Medal against Western Australia.
Right. Much harder game, that one, against Western Australia.
How many did you kick?
Kick nine.
No.
And Gaz, your boy, played on a back flank and delivered a couple to me. That was over in Perth.
Oh, yes.
And the year before played Western Australia as well.
And how'd you go with that one?
We beat the money, kicked a couple. That was my first aid.
Right, I see.
Just finding my way, Jim.
Were you? And then after that.
And I don't think Gaz
played. What about
the
Allies? Allies.
Yeah, we didn't go great. We had a couple of issues.
You know the leading goal kicker of the Allies.
Who? You sure about that?
Oh, no.
You kicked the bag in Sydney, didn't you?
He's pointed to himself. Can you believe this?
I'm not sure.
I didn't think so.
Didn't John Longmire kick a big bag on those?
When we beat Victoria, that was it.
All right, I tell you, Bill, stop talking about yourself and get the joke ready. Are we going?
Yep.
You're on.
Every day with a laugh. This is Billy's joke.
A reminder,
yes.
Chris Judd and Bianca Chatfield, big show tomorrow. Ooh. Make sure you're listening.
Now, Bill, don't take this lightly because you gave me my first laugh in about 4 years last week. I thought it was an outstanding joke.
Yep.
And I want you to back it up.
I'm taking it lightly. John Longmire is driving home when he sees a police car with a speed camera parked right out the front.
This won't work.
On the side of the road, Longmire speeds up and click, click, sure enough, camera gets him. To the policeman's shock and horror, John Longmire does a U-turn, goes past the car again, click, click again. The policeman is amazed, Chiefy. Can't believe it. Does it a third time and a fourth time. Copper says, I've had enough of this, grabs him. Policeman gets out of his car, walks up, and John Longmire gives him a spray. Right. The policeman says, I know who you are. Aren't you crazy? Four times you sped past my car and the speed camera. That's four speeding fines. Big horse Longmire turns around and says, it may be four fines, but it's also a point for every fine, and I'll do anything for 4 points.
He should. You know what? To go down the football path was wrong from the very start. The way he delivered it was crap.
Look at you.
And the punchline, very ordinary.
It wasn't bad.
So I'm straight back to where I was for the 4 years prior to last week.
I went to a dress-up party the other night as a chicken.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was very good. Very good. I loved it.
Plastic.
Chicken and the egg. Plastic.
Back on plastic.
Which was first? Where did Chief play? Ford pocket, you are.
Come on.
I don't think G-Line made the cut from the initial squad of 40.